It's very nice to see so many ideas coming from physics. And in the beginning, I guess it was mostly mathematicians who cared about the Hitchin system. And I will today too discuss mathematical aspects of the topology of the Hitchin system. And that's why, that's why I chose this this subject about the perverse filtration on the topology of the Hitchin system. And this is a new aspect. I mean, the story is a bit older, but a new aspect which we have been recently looking at is this perverse Hirzebruch-Weyl genus, which seems to be simplifying a lot of the conjectures. And so we therefore hope that this will be potentially easier to compute than the previously studied quantities. So before I start the story, I wanted to say a few words about my new institute, because there was some confusion when I came here. My previous institute was listed, and people may not have heard about IST Austria, because it's only a 10 years old institute. And so very quickly, I wanted to show you that we exist in the Vienna woods, 22 minutes from Vienna. And it's a new PhD-granting research institute in the basic sciences. And because it's only 10 years old, we still are growing, and so there are hiring in all levels. And here is the Vienna woods. Here is mathematics and theoretical physics, experimental physics, the central building, which used to be a mental hospital previously, and all the other science buildings around this little pond. So it's really, really nice. Anyway, so after this little commercial about IST, let me come back to perverse business about the cohomology of the Higgs moduli space, which is the total space of the Hitchin system. So first I want to discuss this total space of the Hitchin system. So I will define, as Nigel has, the total space of the Hitchin system for a fixed smooth complex projective curve or Riemann surface, compact Riemann surface. We will fix N for the rank of the Higgs bundles and D for the degree. And we will study this total space of the Hitchin system, which is the moduli space of rank N, degree D, semi-stable Higgs bundles on the curve. So I won't repeat these definitions, and I mean, this is about Hitchin system, so everyone probably have seen the definitions. So there is a nice algebraic geometry way to construct these moduli spaces. But as so Nigel's original definition was through gauge theory, and this already uncovered most of the exciting features of this space. So one of them is that it is a hyperkähler manifold. And from a mathematical point of view, what's nice is that we have algebraic geometric interpretation of the other complex structures in the hyperkähler family. So this is one of them, giving us the moduli space of Higgs bundles. And there is in the other complex structure, there is this even simpler way to think about the same manifold as the variety of representations of the fundamental group of the Riemann surface into the complex group GLN. The nice thing about this variety is that you can write down with the simple generators and the single relation. So you take the 2G generators for the generators of the fundamental group of the Riemann surface, and you write down the relation, the product of the commutators in the fundamental group, which normally would be the identity, but we will make this slight twist. If you like, what we will do at a puncture of the Riemann surface, we insert this central conjugacy class, and this is an nth root of unity, certain nth root of unity inserted here. Sorry? And indeed, for us, it's going to be crucial that the spaces are non-singular. Somehow the cohomological computations are nicer and easier to understand in the case when the varieties are non-singular, and this will happen when D and N are co-prime. So indeed, from now on, I will assume this. Or techniques, we don't know exactly what to do in the case when D and N are not co-prime, although that's very interesting too. Somehow, properly speaking, the D equals zero case is the real case to understand. Okay, so then what's this statement I made about the hyperkiller metric can be reformulated in another story, which is Simpson's story of non-abelian Hodge theory. And in that story, this is just the non-abelian Hodge theorem that says that this non-linear space, which is thought to be the non-abelian Dolbach cohomology of the curve, should be identifiable with the Betti cohomology, which is this variety. But for us, this hyperkiller isometry between the two is going to be given by a canonical diffeomorphism like that. And for a mathematician, why it's exciting, if you are interested in, for example, the topology to start with of this space, is that you have two different approaches to try to understand the cohomology. And our problem is going to be, indeed, to try to compute or understand the Betti numbers, the dimensions of the cohomology groups of the moduli space of Higgs bundles. That's maybe the first non-trivial topological invariant you would like to compute. For example, Nigel, in his original very first paper, did compute the case for NS2, and then I will discuss these kind of things later, what was computed and what we know. But what's exciting in this perspective is that we have another incarnation of the same topology, the same differentiable manifold, and that's the character variety, which from an algebraic geometry perspective is really different. So this is now an honest affine variety, because the way how we take the quotient is just the affine GIT quotient, so it really is an affine variety, and this guy is very far from being affine. It's not projective, but it has large projective subvarieties inside it. So algebraic geometrically, they are really different, but they share the same topological type. Okay, so what turns out that we have a technique to understand more or less some aspects at least of the cohomology of this variety using algebraic geometry, where we will use this specific presentation of the variety with this equation. And we will be able to do, very quickly I'll explain, a finite field count of points of this equation of a finite field, and I explain what kind of cohomological implications that have. So for that to understand, I have to recall for you some constructions of Deligne, which he did before proving the Weyl conjectures, so it was a warm-up for that, I guess, but it's a theorem or a construction in the cohomology of complex algebraic varieties. So for any complex algebraic variety, in particular, the variety could be singular or non-compact, as for us, and there is always a weight filtration on the cohomology, which is very nice. It's functorial, and this is compatible with the cup product. So it's a very nice extra structure, a filtration that you have on the cohomology of any algebraic variety. And then it turns out that for the character variety, it will be interesting to extend or question, instead of trying to just understand the dimension of the cohomology groups, it turns out that there is a mileage to be gained from looking at what we call the weight polynomial. So instead of the Poincaré polynomial, which is just a polynomial in one variable, we can also encode the weights of the weight filtration on cohomology. So that's what we call the weight Poincaré polynomial, weight polynomial, which of course, when you forget about the weight filtration, you set Q equals 1, just gives back our usual Poincaré polynomial. Okay, so why am I saying that you can have interesting information about this weight polynomial, maybe better than about the Poincaré polynomial using, say, arithmetic techniques, is this because another specialization of this polynomial, which is basically the T equals 1 specialization, and additionally, we will have to do a certain Poincaré duality because this polynomial called the E polynomial or Deligne-Serre polynomial of X is defined on compactly supported cohomology, but for a smooth X as ours will be, this guy, this E polynomial can be defined from ordinary cohomology or the weight filtration on ordinary cohomology, and this will be really later convenient to stick to ordinary cohomology. So that's why we define the E polynomial from the weight filtration or ordinary cohomology by artificially plugging this kind of Poincaré duality there. Anyway, so this, if you like, another specialization of this two-variable polynomial, and it turns out that it has a very nice connection to the arithmetic of the variety over a finite field. So this was provided by Kotz, a result of Kotz in an appendix to our first paper on the subject. So what it is telling us that if now I am changing M to be your variety, so if you have M is a variety which somehow defined by equations using only coefficients, say from the integers, then it makes sense to look at those equations over a finite field or just modulo a prime number, and then suddenly you have finitely many potential solutions, so you can count those solutions. And then if you find that the count as a function of the finite field of the Q, so as a function of Q, this thing turns out to be a polynomial in Q, then you are in a very good shape of gaining topological information on the variety over the complex numbers, because in that case, the statement is that this E polynomial computed from the weight filtration on the cohomology of the complex algebraic variety M is exactly the same as this counting polynomial. So you will see that for us it's extremely useful, because this is exactly what we could do for the character variety. We could count points over a finite field, and we did indeed obtain a polynomial. Okay, so why could we do this for the character variety? So you recall that the character variety was again given by a single equation, basically coefficients from the integers except the root of unity, but we can also include that in the picture. And then you want to count the number of solutions of that equation over a finite field, and for that you are lucky, because starting with Frobenius, basically by Hurwitz, many other people have studied this kind of counting formula for any finite group G. So if you have a finite group G, then you can wonder how many solutions this equation has where you fix a Z, an element in your finite group, and you just want to count how many times 2G elements can form these commutators which multiply to your element Z. So it's a finite number, and it turns out that it can be obtained by a character formula using the irreducible characters of G. So Frobenius used this actually as a proof in the beginning of the theory of characters, that the characters know about the group, because obviously these kind of problems encode information on the group. And okay, so back then in the first paper of Frobenius, he was not yet talking about representations. He had an artificial way to construct the character table, but he could prove theorems like that. Not exactly this, but related count formulas. Okay, so for us it's exciting, because that's what we could do, or you can do, is that you can evaluate the number of points of the character variety over a finite field, because it is just looking at this problem where G is a particular finite group, namely the finite group of Lie type G and FQ. So in that variety, if you just want to reduce to a finite field, it is just going to be the count inside G and FQ. So then you get this simple formula about the count of the points on the character variety. And this is, again, a formula now over the irreducible characters of G and FQ. And then this kind of simple looking, if you have seen the Fehrlinde formula, it's like Fehrlinde formula type of result you have to compute. And there is this slight twist. This is this primitive nth root of unity which you put in your finite field. And D is your D of the degree. Okay, so then you count this. This is non-trivial. The character tables, even though are known and combinatorially is approachable, but they are big. And so it took some time to actually compute it. And this is not entirely obvious that the result is going to be a polynomial, but there are simple arguments for that. You will get a polynomial. You can apply Kotz's result. You will get a result about the complex topology of this character variety. So one intermediate outcome of this argument was that the D doesn't really matter. If I take another D, co-prime 2n, this element is Galois conjugated to the original one in the finite field, and somehow in this calculation, everything can be done after Galois conjugation. So the result does not depend on which particular value of D co-prime 2n you took. And that was exciting because this is not at all clear for the Higgs moduli spaces, because you can also upgrade the argument to the complex algebraic variety, and you will see that the character variety has a cohomology, the Betti numbers at least, or the cohomology even, which is independent of D, of the degree of the Higgs bundle, or this root of unity, which you solve the equation. That was the first exciting outcome of this new perspective. But the second was exactly that we could, in fact, compute it. And then, because what I am trying to convince you today, that the reason we could compute it somehow, because this fit into a topological quantum field theory. So this was the perspective of Fried and Quinn, that these kind of character formulas appear in Chern-Simons theory with finite gauge group. So it turns out that the E polynomial we wanted to compute is just the partition function of the Chern-Simons theory for finite gauge group GNFQ. Okay, you have to insert at a puncture this central element given by this root of unity. And then you have this nice interpretation, reinterpretation of this calculational result. But this, I just want to emphasize that I believe this is the reason we could compute, because there was a topological quantum field theory behind it. So I want to give you the formula for NS2, the first formula we computed, of course. And the character table is big, but it has four different types of conjugacy classes and four different types of characters. And then what we did, which worked out very nicely, that you would sum this character formula for each type separately, and then you get four, sum of four things. And those things are very nice. So you see that this formula for the E polynomial of the character variety, even this is a large sum depending on Q, that the size is depending on Q, but it reduces to a sum of four elements. And then again, the result itself already looks like a Fehrlinde formula. You have things raised to the power G minus one or one minus G, four of them. Okay, there are some slight signs and the little fractions, but we also have a problem now. Maybe there is a skeleton topological quantum field theory whose partition function would be precisely that. Well, anyway, so this was how this story started. But, okay, so but even in the very beginning and around this time, we were also interested in trying to understand the Betti numbers. This is our problem, you remember. So the question now arises, can we somehow find the Poincaré polynomial of this variety? So you should recall that this polynomial we have computed was one specialization of the Waite polynomial. So you could ask what might be the two-variable polynomial which reduces to this one. It turns out to be a non-trivial project to find the T deformation. And we were aided by several computations of both the cohomology ring of the this rank 2 Higgs moduli space or character variety in the beginning. And then also the rank 3 one we used of Goetens. And then anyway, eventually we managed to have a very good guess of what is the right T deformation to encode the two variable polynomial.
Can you clarify that you find the
Oh, this is just saying the obvious thing is that the partition function is just counting the number of representations of the fundamental group into the finite group G. It's like G connection is a G local system, but it's a. You should look at this paper. These people make a nice mathematical theory. This is obviously much simpler than the actual Chern-Simons theory, but this happens in every dimension. So there is some theory to this. It's very, very simple from the physics point of view, the baby version of the difficult theories. I think it's related, yeah. Yeah, I think that was the physics counterpart of this. But what's for us interesting is that if you take a non-trivial group, this very simple theory, is going to give us something really non-trivial. It's going to give us some information on the, it already gave the Euler characteristic of the variety, for example, for every n, which was a new result. But the really exciting thing was that we managed to find, conjecture the T deformation of this. So instead of using the Q and T, which I probably should have, but somehow in these years of writing this formula again and again, it became this one-line thing, so I didn't want to touch that. So this gives us a conjecture on this mixed Hodge polynomial of these character varieties for every n. So it combines these things for every n. What's not recorded here is the degree, but I told you that the cohomology is independent of the degree as long as d is coprime to n. So that's why there is no dependence on degree. The polynomial is unique. It does not depend on d. So you take any of your favorite d's, if you like d equals 1, you compute the mixed Hodge polynomial, or sorry, the weight polynomial of the character variety for every n, and then you form this giant sum. It's also for all n, but also you do this statistic substitution with the k. You take the exponential of this. Now all these things get really convoluted, and then the conjecture says that you end up something very simple on the other side, which is just the sum over all partitions of every n, and then you go through the, all the boxes of the partition in the Young diagram of the partition. You compute the arm lengths and the leg lengths of those boxes, and then you compute this rational function. It's somehow, and this is going to be interesting for future developments, it looks like representing the cohomology of the curve somehow attached to this partition. If you've seen the zeta function, for example, of a curve, it looks like that. So you see the 2G dimensional first cohomology, the one dimensional second cohomology, and the one dimensional zero cohomology. Okay, this one is not yet clear. It's going to determine this, but there is an inverse operation to this. I can take first the little log, but you can unravel this statistic thing. So you can actually now take these things and combine them in a complicated way, and that will give us a unique solution of these things. So the reason, as I told you, we could manage to guess this was that first we managed to do this for NS2, because for NS2 we knew the cohomology ring of the variety, and we could actually compute this weight polynomial a priori, and then we managed to find this T deformation, and the T deformation looks like that. So you see it's a beautiful formula in the sense that it's before we had these things to the 2g minus 2 powers, four of them, -1/2, -1/2 there. And then those things have to be upgraded to rational functions in somehow a non-trivial way. And that's what we managed to guess. And then if you, for example, set now q equals 1, it is not at all clear even that it's a polynomial. The whole thing is not clear that it's a polynomial in two variables. So it's not obvious to set q equals 1 because there are poles in here and there. But if you compute it, you will do some residue computations, and you arrive back at the original formula of Nigel, for example, of the Poincaré polynomial. But Nigel's formula has all kinds of different-looking terms, but this one is a nice and compact way. And the point I was making that somehow these things are no longer of the immediate shape of what I would call a Ferlinde formula. Things are not the sum of things raised to the 2g minus 2 power. There are these fractions now. So this might be one of the reasons why this is hard to compute. So the mixed, this weight polynomial is not somehow additive under decomposition. It's not a topological quantity maybe in that sense. So it's hard to compute. This is a brutal computation that we managed to do this. Okay, so then, but this then for every n gives us a conjecture. One conjecture is, for example, that what it gives is a polynomial, which is not at all obvious. But if you put it in Maple, it's always going to be a polynomial. Then you can set q equals 1, and then you get the Poincaré polynomial, and you can check against Goetens' computation of the Poincaré polynomial of the rank 3 Higgs moduli space, and then you will get every genus, you get an agreement, the same for the paper of Garcia, Prada, Heinloth, and Schmidt. They did the computation, which their formula was giant, several pages long, and they claim they have done Maple checks up to genus 20 something to check that their result is the specialization of this formula, but for rank 4. Okay, and then finally, excitingly, a new input, two exciting inputs came from physics. Both are due to Chuang, Draconescu, and Penn. First, in a first attempt in 2010, they studied ADHM sheaves on a Riemann surface, and they had an understanding of certain refined Donaldson-Thomas invariants of these moduli spaces, and somehow in there was wall crossing picture, and when you cross the wall, these Poincaré polynomials of the Higgs moduli spaces appeared in the computation, and if you turn back their computation, they also could guess by physics arguments what's the invariant at the two ends, and that way what you ended up with was a recursive formula for the Poincaré polynomial of the Higgs moduli spaces, provided all the physics, the ideas they used were correct. But then it was shown my postdoc, Sergei Mozgovoy, that their recursive formula is only solved, uniquely solved by our conjectured Poincaré polynomial, provided that these two variable things are indeed polynomials, even though they don't just look rational functions. Fortunately, it was proved by now postdoc Anton Melit, who had a really non-trivial algebraic combinatorics argument that these things always, and much more general versions of these, are always evaluated to polynomials. And so now, using that, Mozgovoy, we knew that if this work can be done mathematically, we would have computed the conjectured Poincaré polynomials. So now there is an announcement by Maulik, and that in a work with Pixton, they managed to find the rigorous completion of this picture, which includes two things, at least mathematically. One is to understand the wall cross, maybe three. First of all, define the invariants of these refined Donaldson-Thomas invariants, which was non-trivial. Back then, it was not even defined. Then to understand the wall crossing, which was apparently the hardest for them, and also understand what happens at the ends of the stability parameter line. Yes, indeed. They had a later work in 2012, where they reinterpreted this formula as some refined Gopaku-Marwaffa conjecture. So it's somewhat unrelated to the previous one. Of course, not entirely unrelated, but this one talks about the whole two-variable polynomial, and this goes to some now better but still somewhat mysterious invariants, Gopaku-Marwaffa and Waffa invariants for Calabi-Yau threefolds. So the exciting thing about these ideas is that now there is a work of Maulik and Toda who do have some mathematical construction of Gopaku-Marwaffa invariants using similar perverse ideas I'm going to discuss right after this. Because of course Zhuang and Diaconescu cannot do anything about the arithmetic of the character variety, but it turns out that there is a structure on the Higgs moduli space, the cohomology of the Higgs moduli space of the Hitchin system, which we recover the same polynomials. And so that's what Chuang and Diaconescu could relate to, because of course the Hitchin system makes much more sense in their world. So let me discuss this other structure on the Higgs moduli space, but to understand why we got to that conjecture or why we did find this relationship, I first have to point out one curious aspect of the cohomology of the character variety. So you recall we computed this quantity using this topological quantum field theory, but the character table of GNFQ has an interesting duality. The characters come in pairs of some relationship, and this will yield that the E polynomial, the counts, are not just polynomials in Q, but they are palindromic polynomials. They read the same way backwards as forwards. So I just hoped to write just to for you to imagine how this palindromicity might come around. These characters come in pairs, and they are related by something like Poincaré duality. And then when you evaluate the whole sum, you will get a palindromic polynomial. And then there was an obvious conjecture that there may...
What is Chi prime?
Chi prime is the dual. No, the Alvis Curtis dual. These are these pairs of characters which are Alvis Curtis dual.
Ah, I see. Sign, tendering with sign.
No, it's some non-trivial duality.
Standard representation.
Ah, Okay.
So, but what we managed to find was a cohomological reason why this duality or this palindromicity of this polynomial, because it looks like Poincaré duality, although it's on the weight polynomial. But what we found is that this will be induced by a something like a Hard-Lefschetz theorem, Hard-Lefschetz conjecture, because in the generality we don't yet know. We managed to prove it when n is 2 because we understood the cohomology ring. And the conjecture says that there is a Hard-Lefschetz isomorphism, not just on the cohomology. You have to take into account in this non-trivial weight filtration. And this Hard-Lefschetz isomorphism is going to mix the weight. So you fix a cohomology called degree. Then depending on the weight, you will end up in different cohomological degrees and different weights like that. And the issue is that the Lefschetz class, which is usually a 1-1 class, it's now a 2-2 class. It's a weight 4 class, and that's what messes up the weights. But as I say, for any two, we could prove it. And then also there is a non-trivial check that you can prove the functional equation on the conjectured mixed touch weight polynomials, which translates to this functional equation. Now you can prove it, and that also says this refined version of the palindromicity, that these the graded dimensions of these bits are already the same. And again, when n is 2, we could prove that this map with this canonical class alpha, which in the Higgs moduli space structure is the usual Kähler class, the 1-1, but on this other complex structure, it's a 2-2 class, and that's what causes this curious business happening here. Well, they don't have positive coefficients. Not these things, no. Now here, this is two variable thing, which is positive coefficients. But you have this isomorphism, so but it messes degrees, but things will grow. But this is two variable.
Right, when we specialize just that's
what you're doing. What do you mean Q? So you set T equals what? T equals 1 or -1?
Whatever you do.
But that has non-positive coefficients, because you set t equals -1 to get there. So the Poincaré polynomial, which we looked at, has some sort of it actually is unimodal, but we have no clue why. It does grow because of this thing. You can show it will grow up to the quarter of the dimension. But what happens afterwards is unclear, but we checked in computations. It's always unimodal. The Betti numbers, the Poincaré polynomial. Okay, so, and that was what prompted these later collaborators of mine, De Cataldo and Migliorini. They had seen Hard-Lefschetz theorems like that in nature, namely, when you have a different filtration in a different geometrical setup. So that's the so-called perverse filtration, which you get if you have a proper map between complex algebraic varieties. Okay, so it's a relative dimension D. Then De Cataldo and Migliorini study or introduce a certain filtration on the cohomology of the total space of such a proper map. Okay, the way they conceptually arrived to that was that they studied the decomposition theorem, which gives you a formula for decomposing the push forward of the constant sheaf to the base into perverse sheaves. But there is a very nice down-to-earth way to understand this filtration, or at least just to have a feeling what kind of information goes into this filtration. So this is the case which we will find ourselves in when the total space is smooth and the base is affine. In that case, you can compute this perverse filtration which will not be well-defined a priori, but they prove that this is well-defined because it gives that, by taking a test flag of subvarieties of the base, first of dimension D, okay, that has to be the whole thing, then you take a generic hyperplane inside here, and then the generic codimension 2 space inside the hyperplane, etc. So for every dimension, somehow you take this flag, and you end up with a generic point in the base Y0. So you have this test flag, and then you can use this test flag to test the cohomology groups of your total space. So you take your element here, and you can restrict it over this ith element in the flag. So you take the preimage of the ith element up here, and you restrict the cohomology class onto there, and you can ask, is it going to vanish? And if it vanishes, then you package these things, and you will call this is the one bit of the perverse filtration. So you can test perversity of classes by restricting to smaller and smaller dimensional subspaces over the Hitchin base. Like, for example, the easiest to think about is just to take a generic point and restrict your cohomology class on the generic fiber and look at which ones vanish, and that will be one piece of the perverse filtration. And the exciting thing for us is that that's what really started the whole project, which was noticed by Decataldo and Migliorini, that something they already seen, this relative Hartlepsch's theorem, which is now a theorem with respect to the perverse filtration. And this is now induced by a usual ample class, 1-1 type, but now the perversity is going to be funny. And that's why using this relative ample class, the perversity will determine which degree you are going to end up with. Okay, I hope I got this right, but it should be the same as before by replacing P and W. Okay, so that's was what motivated them to guess that maybe there is a way to understand the Purius Hartlepsch's theorem as a relative Hartlepsch's theorem just by looking at the different filtration on the same cohomology. And of course, we do have such a proper map, which is a famous proper map, the Hitchin system on the Higgs bundle moduli space side. Before going there, I wanted to say, because we are going to now change our interest of computing the weight polynomial to the perverse polynomial, that we can form the same way now, if you have such a proper map between two complex algebraic varieties, you can compute now the perverse polynomial or the perverse Poincaré polynomial just by computing the dimensions of the graded pieces of the perverse filtration. Okay, so again, I hope that I showed that, and this is how it started. They were saying that maybe the Purius-Hartlepsch's theorem can be explained by the relative Hartlepsch's theorem for the Hitchin map, because the Hitchin system, the subject of this conference, is of course just this proper map in completely integrable system, which takes a Higgs bundle and sends it to its characteristic polynomial and ends up in this affine space, which Nigel and then we all have seen already. Okay, so Nigel proved that this is a completely integrable Hamiltonian system, and it will have this beautiful property that the generic fibers, for example, are abelian varieties. So they are nice tori, and they will degenerate to more and more singular fibers. And for the perverse filtration, precisely the cohomology of those fibers, or the relative cohomology of this with respect to the total space, are relevant. And the other property which is important is this proper, which is for integrable systems, it's not always the case, but for proper ones, if it's an integrable system, you, for example, know again that the fibers are abelian varieties, not just some abelian groups. Okay, so that motivated the conjecture that maybe that if I now take on the Higgs moduli space side the perverse filtration on the cohomology, it might just exactly match up with the weight filtration on the character variety side. I told you that these spaces come with the God-given isomorphism, diffeomorphism, so that will give us this canonical isomorphism of the cohomologies. And so it turns out that the conjecture says that the weight filtration on this side will actually translate to the perverse filtration on the Higgs moduli space side. And for our computational purposes, this means that the mixed Hodge polynomials or the weight polynomials we were computing can be translated to give us information about the perverse Hodge polynomials. Okay, for us, of course, it was a nice conjecture, but really to be interesting, we had to prove it, and for at least in one case, and that's what we managed to do with a very hard work to prove it for n equals 2. Here we knew everything about the cohomology ring, so all this was used, but also it was not enough. You really had to understand these particular aspects of the Hitchin fibration, exactly what kind of singular fibers appear, these restriction maps to the fiber. So it was really a non-trivial computation. And excitingly, the proof was very much mirroring the argument of Engel, where he did study basically the same kind of perverse ideas for Hitchin systems, but he was counting points on the Hitchin fibers, which of course famously proved for him the fundamental lemma in the Legrand's program. I don't want to talk more about that. I just want to point out that what we managed to do, that the previous conjectures, now we can bring up here for the perverse Hodge polynomial. Okay, this one actually is not a conjecture. For n is 2, you know, everything is correct. And so the previous polynomial I showed you for the weight polynomial, the character variety for n is 2, we know is the perverse Hodge polynomial. Okay, so, and then this aspect I wanted to emphasize for today is this Hirzebruch-Weyl genus. So why do I think that's interesting? Because again, if you just want to compute this in an abstract way, these kind of things, you would like to see this kind of partition function of a topological quantum field theory. And it turns out that first of all, you can upgrade the conjecture. That's what we will do first. Instead of just looking at the perverse Poincaré polynomial, we can also look at the perverse Hodge polynomial, because the perverse filtration is still compatible with the Hodge filtration. So you will have Hodge numbers of the graded pieces of the perverse filtration. So now you have three variables, one Q, remembering the perverse filtration, and L and M, remembering the Hodge numbers. You should know that the weight filtration on the Higgs moduli space is trivial. It's pure cohomology. So in this case, L plus M is always going to equal the cohomological degree. Otherwise, you would have one more variable for the weight, but for us, there is no one more variable. So basically, this three-variable polynomial is the one which understands the full mixed Hodge structure and the perverse filtration at the same time. And what I show you is that before even knowing about the perverse filtration, it was actually possible to guess what extension of the conjecture would give the right formulas for the usual Hodge numbers of the Higgs moduli spaces, because this polynomial, which we call the perverse Hodge polynomial, is again has interesting specializations. So first, if you forgot about the perverse filtration, then what you get is just the usual Hodge polynomial, which again, in this case, if you like, it's the same as the virtual Hodge polynomial or the E polynomial. But again, it's in the ordinary cohomology, so you have to do Poincaré duality. So this was something which you could compute again by the same kind of Morse theory computations what Nigel initiated for the C-star actions. So we knew this, for example. And then it has an interesting specialization, further specialization in the two-variable Hodge polynomial. If you set the variable to be minus one, sometimes people put the minus one here, which actually would simplify the formulas, but I like to keep my coefficients positive, so I actually set x equals minus one here. Then you get the Hirzebruch-Weyl genus, which is interesting because this is something you can compute from the additive cohomology, the Hodge structure on the additive cohomology. On the other hand, you have an alternative way to compute on a compact variety anyway, the Hirzebruch-Weyl genus by the Hirzebruch-Riemann-Roch theorem. So there is an index theorem computations for the same quantity on a compact variety. So somehow this is an interesting quantity, and it turns out that just looking at the formulas, things will tremendously simplify if we look at just the Hirzebruch-Weyl genus of the Higgs moduli spaces. And it turns out that the formulas will simplify even if we put back the perverse filtration. And that's actually the main player of today's talk. I would like to emphasize, and I believe maybe the best non-trivial extension of the E polynomial is not the, maybe the weight polynomial we had studied so far, but in fact this perverse Hirzebruch-Weyl genus, which is what you take the perverse filtration on the Higgs moduli space, and then you compute like you would normally the Hirzebruch-Weyl genus by setting x equals minus 1. You get a two-variable polynomial, and I would like to argue that this might be a similarly topologically computable quantity like the E polynomial was for the character variety. Okay, so why do I think that? So first, it was actually very quickly after we had the conjecture about the, with Fernando Rodriguez-Villegas, the conjecture about the weight polynomial. As I said, you can look at this thing and you can easily see the relationship to cohomology. And there was a straightforward way to upgrade to include one more variable. Yeah, I forgot to say, if I set x and y back to t, then I get back my usual perverse Poincaré polynomial. So it is a further deformation of the previous conjecture, and this was not difficult to guess what it should be. And again, this I did in 2004, even though I had no meaning for these polynomials, because on the character variety side, where all this made sense, the Hodge structure is trivial. It's Hodge-Tate. There is no interesting X and Y. It really is on the Higgs side where it's interesting. But at the Higgs side, I didn't have the analog of the weight filtration yet. But now, putting together with this P equals W conjecture, now you can translate what I was conjecturing in 2004 was actually about this perverse Hodge polynomial of the Higgs moduli space. So you can put it like that. As I told you, somehow things get nice if you set minus X and minus Y here. Because I want to tell you that if you set now x equals 1 in here, which corresponds to taking the Hirzebruch-Weyl genus, suddenly things become beautiful because this will just factor into there, right? There is q to the l plus 1, and y to the l plus 1 is more important. Y to the l plus 1, y to the l plus 1. If you get rid of the x, this thing will just divide into there, and this will just divide into there. So things become polynomial instead of a rational function. And that's one thing, and this is what I want to finish the talk with, that specialization. But if you make even one more specialization, it turns out most of these things will just be zero, and you will get a closed formula for what should be the perverse, what should be the actual Hodge, the actual Hirzebruch-Weyl genus of the Higgs moduli space. There is a nice simple formula for that. And then it turned out that in these complicated computations of the how people try to compute the Betti numbers by using the Sis direction and Morse theory, things again enormously simplify if you are only interested in this specialization of the Hodge polynomial, the Y genus. And in fact, they could prove it, that this conjecture arising from there is the true one. But what I wanted to emphasize today is this old observation of mine, that this thing is already a polynomial. But I showed you that if you set x equals 1 here, this actually turns out to be a polynomial. So let me show you how it looks like for NS2 case, and then I finish with this problem, and I did this this emphasis on the perverse Hodge polynomial, the Higgs moduli space. So now if you do this upgrading from the QT thing to the QXY thing, further deformation, this is how it will look like. So it's still a rational function. Now you decompose the cohomology, the 2D, 2G dimensional cohomology in the numerators into these 2G dimensional subspaces according to the Hodge filtration on the cohomology of the curve. And then that's what you are getting. And again, this is correct. This is proved because we know that completely the cohomology ring. So this gives us the perverse Hodge polynomial of the rank 2 Higgs moduli space. Okay, so that's nice. So we have the Hodge polynomial, which is basically what Nigel computed, although he computed only the Poincaré polynomial, but this computation is easy to upgrade to the Hodge polynomial. And then you get also this nice simple formula for the Hirzebruch-Y genus of M2. So now let me show you what happens. Okay, here you can see too that when x is minus 1, and there is some sign issues always, but I think everything is right. When x is minus 1, this is going to divide into I don't know, somewhere into here and into there. And so this is what you are going to end up with. This two-variable thing, the QY thing, the perverse Hirzebruch-Y genus of the Higgs moduli space, seems to be a much nicer quantity than this three-variable one, or even the QT two-variable one. In that, for example, they are obviously polynomials because of the formula. And the result looks like a topological quantum field theory. Things are added to things raised to the power g minus 1 add together with only slight minus signs and 1 over 2s and later bigger rational numbers. And so I believe this is the right thing to look at. And then also, if I had had time, I could have talked about extensions of these conjectures to punctures when you have Riemann surfaces with punctures, and you would see that MacDonald polynomials would come in. And then there you would get the whole combinatorics of MacDonald polynomials in these formulas. And in this specialization, you don't lose that. So to me, it's exciting that if I put back the punctures, I can still ask about the perverse Hirzebruch-Y genus of those parabolic Higgs moduli spaces. I would still get nice polynomial-looking things plus MacDonald polynomials. And I believe that this actually is there for a reason, because somehow, first of all, I ask, is this coming from a TQFT? And the second question I ask is maybe that the perverse Hirzebruch-Y genus is a much more topological quantity than, say, the whole perverse Hodge polynomial. So one possibility would be, for example, to have an index theorem for that. And that's the real reason I had looked at this problem again, because we are computing equivariant indices of the first line bundles, this equivariant Fehrlinde formula reinitiated by Gukov and Pei a year ago. But you can also look at the equivariant Hirzebruch-Y genus, and then you do get formulas from that perspective, which will be naturally topological quantum field theory formulas. And the hope is that somehow we can include the perverse filtration into that story. And that would be an exciting combination of that equivariant index computations with this arithmetically originated story of perverse bigeneral fixed moduli spaces. Okay, thank you. Right, so what that goes to is the, wait. So there is what I've seen in the mathematical literature is the Gromov-Witten theory of the local curve, the Brian Pandari-Panda computation. That's a topological quantum field theory, which I believe in these things, connections, it gives the E polynomial analog. So, but this is somehow before taking log. So, yes, so that's the connection. And then we would like to see a deformation of that topological quantum field theory. And in fact, Fernando, my collaborator, has an abstract topological quantum field theory which takes care of the things before taking the log. And I think that theory should be, I don't know, the refined Donaldson-Thomas theory of the local curve, some topological quantum field theory which should naturally arise from there. And then proper?
Yes, sir.
Well,
so
it's
so the example like T star G mod would work.
Yeah, but in that case, the perverse filtration is not interesting or not that interesting. What you want is a Hitchin system. That's when it gets interesting. But as to the cohomology, there is trivial. The weight filtration is trivial on T star GB.
Yeah.
I think actually my colleagues might have an argument that this also works there, but it's trivial. The weight filtration is pure on T star GB because it's just the same as G mod B. But that also has pure Hoare structure. So there is no interesting weight filtration. And maybe, I think they actually, now something reminds me, maybe they have thought about the perverse filtration. Again, it will be trivial on the other side.
Any other contemporary?
So my philosophy, if you have a complex algebraic system which is proper, then that's a Hitchin system. No, I mean, give me an example which isn't, and then it's... But that's not a proper. Give me a proper one. Is it proper? So anyway, what I generally think, if you see an example of this proper integrable system, there will be a character variety, because it's a Hitchin system, there will be some character variety, and then P equals W will be true.
What happened in the non-co-prime case of
Yeah, I mean, Ben has some ideas about what to do in the non-co-prime case. I don't know, is it what you're going to discuss? Yeah, he will talk about that. Yeah, that's interesting. We don't know. We can now play the game backwards. Where does the Hoare filtration go to? But you see, the Hoare filtration on the curve by Teichmuller theory gives you back the curve itself. So it knows about the complex structure. But maybe the Y genus part is somehow makes sense. But no, it's a great question. I don't know. It would be great to. But what it means, I have no clue. But it's a good question. It would be very nice to now go back and try to interpret these on the character variety side, but we don't know.